This is Alan Mabin. I'm sitting here with David McCann, and we're steeling ourselves for the party conference season, which is just about round the corner. Another, just less than a month from now, and the PUP will be meeting on the 10th of October, and that kicks off the slalom ride kind of down the hill with the UUP, eventually SDLP, DUP, and even smaller parties kind of looking into the distance as well. Are you looking forward to party conference season this year, David?
Of course. Any political nerd is. It's 2 months. It's 2 months of great political activity. We're going to see a lot of different agendas. This year is going to be more critical now because we've got no executive-ish at the moment. We're nearly out the door, but not quite. So party conferences will be very interesting. The Ulster Unionists will be, of course, the first of the main five main parties to be meeting on the 24th of October. So it'll be interesting to see a very strident Mike Nesbitt. You know, I've been vindicated. I've been right. We led, and the DUP have followed. Will probably be his line. So it'll be interesting to see how they play that, and also the DUP will be out of government probably by then when they meet in November. And it'll be interesting to see. No First Minister this time. No ministerial speeches. No nothing. So it'll be very interesting to see how they play their conference.
There could be a few very early draft speeches being ripped up as we speak, and having to be refactored into effectively an election campaign starting very early, as opposed to starting next January.
Well, this is the great unknown. Will we be operating this in the middle of an election? Well, if we do have an election in November, I'd say that DUP conference probably won't happen. The Ulster Unionists could probably get away with theirs. It may actually even be useful for them, and maybe the first week in a campaign to get their party together and actually have that party event. They won't get the TV coverage, but it'll be certainly useful from a party standpoint.
There's a lot of we're kind of coming on to that fact that the party conferences achieve a whole pile of different things. For part of it's about kind of enthusing your most active members, who sometimes even have to pay to get to the conference to see the speeches and clap and things. It's also about getting a bit of media coverage, because the big five are kind of guaranteed to get the leader live on TV for about 40 minutes if they don't speak over the end of the programme, which some of them do. And it's also about getting lots of organisations in and allowing them to pay for tables, which pays for the hotel that you have to hold it in. So there's a mixed bag of things, but they're very different. The people watching is nearly as good as the politics, and the Unionists are very suited and booted, whereas the Nationalist conferences are much more relaxed, open shirt, maybe a GAA top, and more of a family atmosphere than the very businesslike.
I think that's well observed. If you take a look at the UP, it's very much a big day out for them. You know, at the DUP conference and the Ulster Unionists, you know, they travel from Fermanagh. You know, the very rural parties, the DUP and the UUP. And they come in their best suits. They come, and it's a real event. They wear their party ties and their party badges, and also it's a really important thing. And you know, I know one DUPer last year who took his son to the DUP conference for the first time. It was a great sense of pride for him. He was really, really chuffed that he saw his son was coming along, and son was waving the wee flag that they have at the DUP conference.
Well, this is one of the things. There can be music and a bit of jingoism at many of these, and depending on your political viewpoint.
More so the DP. The Ulster Unionists don't really do it.
They sing the national anthem at the end.
They sing the national anthem, but I think maybe it's Willie McRae's influence with the DP. But of course, there's much more singing at the DP of the flags, with the Ulster Unionists don't.
Which they are sitting on people's seats, little kind of small flags, and they get to wave them really during the party.
They're union flags and Northern Ireland flags that they wave.
And that actually is partly about the TV coverage, because camera at the back that looks forward can get a picture. Is actually happening, but it makes it visual.
And another thing it does, that the DUP are, of all the parties, have actually mastered the TV coverage of it. They know how it looks. You take a look, the lights change for the TV address to make it look better.
Yes, because the back of the set is transparent now, so that they can actually
flood different colours, and it makes it look a bit more colourful when Peter Robinson speaks. And also, as you see on TV, from the camera it looks like there are hundreds and hundreds waving these flags. It's actually only the first few rows that actually are waving them, but it looks much bigger on TV, and the optics look really, really good. And compared to the Ulster Unionist Party, and they have music, they actually have a real song, real music, the call, Let the Day Begin, is typically what Peter Robinson enters to, whereas Mike Nesbitt enters to, I think it's like a commercial, a theme or something like that.
Well, Lauren chooses it, and this is one of the kind of the weird nerdy things that we try and find out before the party leader speech. What is this
music
going to be?
The one radical thing that the Ulster Unionist did was 2 years ago, where Linda Brands introduced Mike Nesbitt, the wife of the party leader. That's never really happened before. They didn't do it last year. I don't know why, because I think Linda Brands actually went down really well than a year before. So,
and there has been talk of her standing as a candidate,
yeah, exactly.
Even with East Belfast. So
I don't know why they haven't brought that back. Maybe Mike Nesbitt was a bit uncomfortable with his wife being.
Well, maybe
in
he doesn't want to kind of abuse the.
But that seemed to go down well. So they've been a bit radical, things like that. But the Ulster Unionists are Mike Nesbitt kind of. It looks like he's debating whether to do the open plan thing without a podium, where he, like Ed Miliband, he walks in front of.
But for a couple of years, he's certainly a couple of times I've seen him. He starts at the podium and then kind of walks away from it for 5 minutes,
and then
he'll come back. And it gives it a kind of a different feel. It feels like somebody who can present and is confident
with
their message.
He does, and he puts his hand in his pocket, and he looks very relaxed in actually doing it. So I think that's a note. Whereas Peter Robinson's very stiff, needs the prompter, needs the podium, wears the three-piece suit with the formal blue and white, blue and red tie, very formal, very presented. But again, he gets a great response. He's not a commanding public speaker, but he can get that crowd on its feet, and it's very well choreographed. The DUP definitely do have the best choreographed conference.
Actually, from our point of view, kind of blogging it from a room out the back, because
that's right. We're
no longer in there because it's partly a space thing, and also partly it means nobody hears our snarking and the kind of conversations that shouldn't be heard by anybody else. But yeah, they're quite organised in terms of actually making all that happen, and actually feeding you the speeches and things a bit in advance. Which
they are. They're very good at that.
I mean, nationalist conferences are much more family affairs. It feels like, for Sinn Féin it's an All-Ireland thing as well, but people have travelled a great distance. There's nearly, with STLP, there's many in the bar or sitting drinking coffee outside the room than in the debate.
I think the press are a bolt-on to the nationalist conferences. That'll be the one difference I'd note. You know, the unionists really court the press. Mm-hmm. They make an effort. Like, you know, I don't think it's any mistake that the unionist conferences are the only ones who feed, actually, the press. And the journalists.
This could be an observation.
And I think.
But they're really trying to go and get those pages in the Belfast Telegraph, the 2 pages that might get the newsletter.
The STLP, sometimes you're lucky if even a press station's set up before you go to it. And that's not me being, but it's just making a point. And Sinn Féin.
This year there'll be a special seat for you that falls apart halfway through.
Sinn Féin are very keen. Of course, they're very suspicious of the press. They're very.
Well, there were more. They had more of their own internal communications folk, Ardèche up in Derry last year or earlier this year, than there were actually media.
I managed to go when I was doing an interview with Catherine Seale and Chris Hazard. I was taken in through their press office, where they were all based, and I was waiting for a wee bit, and I asked their head of press. I said, "Do you want me to wait outside?" And he just went, "No." He just stood up and just said, "Here's David, he's from Slugger," and anyone who knows Slugger's relationship with Sinn Féin, they just got all these looks up at me.
Silent boom.
But there were those tables and tables and tables of press officers.
Whereas there were 4 boxes, because it's kind of like an opera house venue, so there were kind of 4 boxes with 5 people in each, and that was the press. So it's quite a difference, and they're really spinning their own story rather than relying on the press.
My understanding, that was my first Sinn Féin Ardèche, so I don't have anything to compare it to. Was that it was much better than it was in the past in terms of their press engagement. I think they're much more, and if you had a query, they were much more willing to answer it. They made a point of going for coffee with you.
Still won't give you Gerry Adams' speech before it starts.
No.
In fact, even when it has started, they put it online before they'll give it to the press. It's an interesting relationship.
It's an interesting relationship. And also another important thing to note between the Unionist and Nationalist conferences is at the Nationalist Conference, they debate policies. Mm-hmm. They vote on things. They vote on motions.
There's a clear agenda. You could over 100 resolutions, probably both for the STLP and for Sinn Féin. They don't always get through them all.
From Friday night to Saturday night, they are debating policy and debating motions. Now, you can debate how much binding this is on the party. Some people would say it's not. But delegates do get to, and that's a big thing for them.
There's a bit of careful planning ahead. I mean, there are certain things that are merged together. There's a lot of kind of very strategic getting them lined up in the right order, so that even if you've a bit of dirty laundry being being kind of aired in public, that actually the result's going to be the compromise one that the Ardcoria likes and things. So there's a wee bit of that going on. But some of the smaller parties, I think, are probably the most fascinating. I mean, the Workers' Party one is the one that's probably most swearing from the stage. It's much more earthy and fascinating. It's people who really care about their left-wing socialist politics, if you're allowed to call the Workers' Party that. And actually, even NI21 was kind of very different to the rest, though their conference last year was about 40 people, one Saturday afternoon in the middle of Christmas shopping. And even the Green Party, I mean, it's much more accent, probably it's fair to say, the most, very friendly, yeah, really kind of child-friendly as well.
Probably the most policy-oriented conference outside of Bolton. Like, they really actually debate policies, and I think it's because their policy, I think I may be right in saying, their policy from conference is binding on their public, on their elected representatives. And there's much more of that debate, and they really research things and really debate things, and they take it all very seriously. So I think that that's an interesting thing to note. The one party I would say who doesn't do party conferences as well as the others would be the Alliance Party. And the reason why...
Why do you have this jaundiced view of the Yellow Party?
Number one, they haven't mastered the optics whatsoever. They have got this screen behind their party leader.
Well, there's a big yellow set.
And there's a big screen behind them. So the problem is that when a camera focuses on it, it looks like there's about five David Fords speaking behind the actual one. So that looks terrible. Another one is they've got no sense of the people coming into this hall. Like Naomi Long and David Ford are big people, big politicians.
Yes, but they don't. Not everybody stands and kind of roars the minute shakes their hand.
Exactly. There's none
it's
of
much
that.
More.
There is none of that.
And less sensationalist, perhaps.
Less sensationalist. And I just think they haven't mastered the optics. I don't think they've mastered the. People need to come away from a conference feeling a sense of fulfillment. They need to go away from the conference having a bit of a. You know, a sugar rush of faith in their party. Mm-hmm. And I just don't get that from Alliance. I don't get delegates going away from Alliance. Like this year, coming after, they were heading into this massive, massive battle in East Belfast. And I was out with a few of them for a drink afterwards. There wasn't that sense of.
It just being kind of enthused.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas the DUP, I think there was a lot coming from the DUP conference for them to be. You know, Peter Robinson gave the battle cry. And did it Gerry Adams as well. I mean, Shinners would have walked away from that Ardesh going, yes, brilliant. Maybe not so much with the SDLPs, but I think that they need to master that choreography and actually use it as that, because, you know, they've got this TV coverage that Lance sometimes struggle to get. They need to kind of just really get that kind of oomph in their
conference. I mean, a couple of years ago, Anna Lowe's comments about United Ireland kind of dominated their conference. She'd said that beforehand, but then it was the only thing anybody wanted to hear about at the conference, and the leader's speech wasn't as important that year because it was what will everybody say about Anna? And other parties have the same problem occasionally. Sammy Wilson's jokes sometimes have gone far too far and actually have detracted from the main message and becomes the story.
Yep.
So there's the parties are, I suppose, the media gives them quite a lot of attention, but actually it's not guaranteed which angle they will take.
Well, Gregory Campbell did that last year.
He propped his little yogurt pot.
He propped it, and well, that was the DUP being hoisted by their own petard, because that was totally they knew he was going to do that. And then Peter Robinson, of course, did the Sunday Politics interview where he got incredibly annoyed, and I did an interview with him afterwards, and he looked a bit irritated, where he was very annoyed with that he was being asked about Gregory Campbell. And you know, I just think you need to be a bit careful. I mean, there is motivating the base. I mean, the DUP base loved that. You know, so if, I mean, Gregory very much ticked the box there for doing it, but he just went a little bit too far talking about, you know, treating the Sinn Féin agenda like toilet paper and all. It was just a wee bit too far. And
it sounds good in the room when you have your supporters and they all cheer, but actually when you take that away and you're distant, it sounds very different, and sometimes I forget about that.
Yeah.
This year, a lot of the conferences are in Belfast, as always. The SDLP are going down to the Armagh City Hotel again. Sinn Féin will be in probably the RDS in Dublin, probably either January or March, depending on kind of southern elections and so on, and Alliance. They tend to be at the other side of Christmas as well, but very Belfast-based. Le Mans Hotel, one of our favourite mobile black spots in the entire place. They should really they should sponsor Under the Dome, I think, on Channel 4, Channel 5, because you barely get Wi-Fi inside, though it did improve last year. You certainly don't get mobile signal until you're about half a mile down the road. It's a great place to have
I genuinely don't know what the Europa or the Ramada have done on the Alliance and DUP parties.
Well, DUP is such a big conference. They like the very flat thing. They like the fact that the ballroom place is huge. It's one of the biggest open spaces in Northern Ireland, short of going to the Odyssey or something.
I just think that that it's in the middle of nowhere. It's hard to get to. So there isn't a bus.
You're never going to be elected to Castlereagh Council.
There isn't a bus or anything up to it. And I mean, it's just that's the problem. If you want something to eat, if you want to go out and get, you know, you're just in the middle of nowhere, and that is a bit of an issue. In terms of what the parties do and why they go there. Again, I also think that being in the middle of nowhere, if you're Peter Robinson, is very useful. You know, you're not going to get protests outside it, and that's a very real consideration.
And from security, it's very... Yeah. Even the times of the fly protests and things with Alliance, it was kind of relatively safe because there's one bridge on the way into Le Mans.
Yeah.
And actually, Ramada is something kind of similar. There's one road in and out.
Whereas it's easy to protest outside of Europa because you can get to it very easily. So it's useful for those purposes. But yeah, the Wi-Fi typically crashes. That's why on Sugar we kind of take the nice wee view that we can continue tweeting because we've got our separate internet dongle we can plug in to, and we can be one of the people tweeting through the blackout.
But if people want to join us in this journey that we'll be on over the next well, it was probably about 8 weekends we're going to see each other. It's quite a lot of time to spend with you, but
I know.
And actually, it's the same. A lot of the same reporters and journalists and bloggers kind of tour around, so it becomes a bit of a club. But anyway, you can join us online from Sugar Tool. We tend to put the audio, some pictures, some analysis up most nights after it, and you can kind of join us and find out a bit more about the mad world of party conferences. Looking forward to it. 4 weeks to go. Thanks, David.
No problem.